can't really hear what Jeremy says because I got my two Stanley Cup rings plugged in my ear.
It's the 21st edition of the Can't Hear What Jeremy Says podcast, and in this edition, Avalanche insider Adrian Dater welcomes back Reagan Smith to the show. In the episode, they discuss just how the NHL may go about hosting the rest of the season in just four cities, talk about Avs players you probably forgot about, as well as that infamous ex-Avs player curse. All that and more coming up, but first, here's your host, Adrian Dater.
Reagan Smith, I don't know about you, but the coronavirus has definitely got me, you know, more in tune with my couple rooms in my house. I think I know every pattern of every piece of paint now on my wall, my ceiling. I'm starting to do like, you know, ink blot design theories in my head about what each piece of plaster over my head means, and really studying the deep meaning of my room and every geographic inch of it. How about you, man? What have you learned during the coronavirus lately?
I think if you put a blindfold on me, I could probably run around this entire house now without hitting anything. It's all blending together now.
Shelter in place, man. At least you've been following the orders. You haven't been taking any Clorox tablets or anything, have you?
No, I haven't been disinfecting the inside of my body just yet.
Good. I'm glad to hear. Welcome to the Can't Hear What Jeremy Says podcast, folks. This is your host, Adrian Dater here. Kind of casual Friday here with my co-host, Reagan Smith, after, I don't know, about 3 weeks you've been having on, Reagan, three or four? Welcome back.
Thank you. We had some pretty awesome talent to come in.
Well, we had some good guests on this pod, yeah, didn't we? Dave Reed, John Lyles. I had the guy from Australia on one day. His accent's pretty thick. I don't know if I could still understand half what he said, but we know you're listening, Ashley. So, good, still fun to have him on. Reagan, what's been going on, man? You're still a student. You still got to do your student stuff, right? You've been doing that virtual online stuff. How's that working for you?
It's been okay. I mean, doing video sports packages on via online stuff's the weirdest thing to ever happen to me, I think. But we're getting through it. Final 2 weeks of school, getting through that, and then internships just having me doing closed captioning, which is, I've never had more respect for people who closed caption than I do now, because it is so hard.
Is it hard? You have to just sit and type real fast what people are saying and get it out there?
Because I guess it's not necessarily hard. Let me rephrase that. It's more tedious, I think, than anything else, because I'm doing previous live streams and captioning what was said. But
how fast do you have to type it?
I get the luxury of being able to go back in time and pause and rewind. But, I mean, an hour-long thing can take 3-4 hours, depending on how focused I am.
That's when you think about it, every single show basically on TV is closed captioned if you want it. That's a lot of people typing a lot of stuff, right? That must be a huge industry. Folks, welcome. I know we're in what day, whatever, the quarantine lockdown, but we are still going to talk some hockey and Avalanche hockey here on this podcast. It's Reagan, it seems like at least we're getting some talk right now about potential playoff stuff. You're seeing Gary Bettman come out and say, hey, we do want to finish the season still. We are looking at potentially up to four regional host cities that would host, you know, five or six teams, whatever, in each city, and almost certainly played without fans. But I guess the bottom line, Reagan, is, you know, there's still seemingly very many plans in motion, contingency plans to play hockey again, and perhaps, you know, earlier than we thought. Maybe I saw one report saying that some teams have been told they can maybe start doing informal skating again or practicing again on May 15th. I'm not sure how, you know, I don't think that's from the league at all, but are you getting any hope from this at all? Or are you just like, Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it when we have hockey again.
Honestly, it's hard to me for me at least to believe that a lot of like even with the four host cities or maybe two, depending on what Bettman wants to go with, it's hard for me to think that it's totally viable. I like the idea that they're talking, but it just seems like there's nothing that's even remotely started to kind of sound like a cemented idea, which I don't know, it just kind of sounds like hearsay for now. Even though it's coming from the league, it's just without the concrete anything of it, it's just, I don't know, it's hard for me to get my hopes up.
Yeah, I mean, they've thrown out a bunch of cities' names. Denver is not one of them. And I don't think Colorado is considered a quote hot spot for the virus, but the numbers in the state are still a little higher than your average western state or midwestern state. So apparently Denver's off the list to be a host city, which is disappointing. But Minnesota, Dallas. Pittsburgh somehow was on that list. I mean, maybe Sidney Crosby put a call in to Mr. Bettman on that one. I don't think that's a city known for. It's a very dense city, first of all, with not a lot of space in it. I don't know. I don't.
He
Hey,
said
I
a
love
few
you,
hundreds.
Pittsburgh. I love you, Pittsburgh, but I don't know if I want to go to Pittsburgh during the coronavirus outbreak. Edmonton, a couple Canadian cities, so. I mean, look, it's gonna go to a city that has enough, stuff around it. It has to have a lot of infrastructure. It has to have a lot of practice rinks. It has to have pretty good size hotel capacities. It's not gonna be one of these minor league cities that would float
No.
it out there, including my beloved Manchester, New Hampshire, that was in the news for a little bit. That's not gonna happen, and nor should it. I've been to Manchester plenty of times, and let's just say there's a reason I left that state 29 years ago. So I don't know. I'm a little more hopeful, at least than Gary Bettman's talking, than your average anonymous report out there.
Right.
So I don't know. I guess I got a little more hope. I mean, it seems feasible, right? The problem that I see is, the logistics of having so many people in the arena, it's not just the players, but it's all the other support personnel. Is everybody going to have to be tested every single day?
Yep.
How are you going to guarantee that nobody spreads the virus? I mean, can you realistically test everybody every day? I don't. I hope not, because that's a lot of bureaucracy and pain in the butt right there. That's gonna delay so
Right.
many. I mean, how do players even relax when they know they've got to be tested every day and have that thing shoved up your nostrils? Apparently, a pretty uncomfortable thing to do, and time consuming, and money, and everything else. So I worry about that. I think that they probably might say, look, if you're not showing any symptoms, we don't need to test you.
Yep.
But it's all getting really sort of ad hoc pseudoscience-y at that point. I mean, you either do it right or you don't, right? So.
Right. It's you either take a huge risk that could backfire
Right.
horribly,
One
or
player says he didn't get tested, and then, finds out he had it later on.
yep,
Can he sue
or
somebody? Does he sue the league? Does he sue every. It's just a lot of stuff that seems like it's. The good thing about all this is that Gary Bettman's one of the great lawyer minds of all time, so I'm sure he's thought about all these little things already. Who's liable, who isn't, and I'm sure he's on the phone with some pretty serious medical personnel too. So I don't know. I
And
still have faith in Bettman that maybe we can get this going, because I know he badly needs the revenue and wants the revenue from this, and doesn't want to have, a league that loses one fourth of its revenue in one fell swoop. But
right.
on the other hand, I'm like, all right, how realistic can this really be?
They just need to do what the UFC does, buy a private island, do it off the coast of Newfoundland, and build an arena and call
That
it
wouldn't be
good.
so
That's
bad.
crazy, isn't it? What UFC's done?
Yeah, but they haven't actually done it yet, have they? Haven't
Yeah,
actually. Oh,
no,
they
they
held one?
bought the island.
Oh, I didn't know they held one
They
yet.
bought it and should be done by June and ready
Oh,
to go
right,
by
but they
June.
Well, then probably everything's going to be lifted by then. And they just bought an island for nothing. Jesus.
But it would be a cool venue.
Hey, I mean, if they could do it somehow. I still think, you know, Las Vegas could have been a good place for this, too. But, you know, I guess, I don't know. Did you see that crazy interview by that mayor? Okay, well, no, I think I only heard about it, but apparently the mayor there is pretty crazy in Las Vegas. She did an interview with Anderson Cooper that had him almost retching listening to it. I guess she wanted to use the Vegas as a, quote, test case city, where let's open it up and see how many people get sick, and then we'll use that as a barometer for the rest of us.
That's messed up. Okay.
You know, hey, it's a lot of stuff out there. The Avalanche. It would have been nice to have Denver as a host city, I'll tell you that. I don't know how they're going to – I don't even know, you know, like I'm starting to think selfishly, of course, on this whole thing too. Are they going to allow media people like me to go cover this thing? Let's say it's in Minnesota. Are they going to allow me to go there? Are they going to exclude all media except for broadcasters? That's a question I'd want to know personally.
Yeah. It would be so easy for the league too to be like, no print journalists. The only way you're going to do it is via like grouped together teleconference meetings for interviews and stuff like that.
Oh, I can easily see them that happening. I mean, why take the risk of allowing, you know, 50 other dirty, ink stained, wretch, lousy media, print media people in when they don't have to worry about that, you know, just keep them out.
One of our players from the men's ASU team, Brinson Pashnuk, good God, I can't speak today. Mm-hmm. Brinson Pashnuk signed with the San Jose Sharks as a free agent, and that's how they did our meeting, was just all through Zoom.
Wow.
And it worked out well, shockingly well.
Yeah, I mean,
it's the weirdest things.
Yeah, I mean, I can see them, you know, let's say they don't allow other media in, they'll put a player on and you'll dial into a conference call and maybe ask a couple questions. That's it. That's all you get. I guess, I don't know. Who cares? I mean, I can still analyze the game pretty well from the couch as I can from being in the arena, and so can most media people, but I still want to be there if it happens.
Right.
I don't know if I want to spend like 3 weeks in Minnesota or whatever, if that's what this could be. You know, the league is talking about 3 games per day to finish the regular season.
I don't know how that works. Yeah. Also,
how are you going to play the teams you were supposed to play on the schedule? And what if one team? I know there's some conference teams that we're going to play in the other conference still. And are you going to put an Eastern team in a Western city to play that regular season game? Yeah, how's that going to work?
I'm almost willing to bet the regular season is donezo.
I just don't see it. I think that there's so many teams though that are like, you know, really going to be upset about that if they can't get that chance to make it.
Maybe you have a playing game or you expand the playoffs, but I don't know. With 15, 20 games left for most teams, it's just...
Well, no, only like 8 or 10, 9 sorry. Games, weren't there? 8 or 9 games left in the regular season when this thing ended?
I don't know. I don't know how realistic it is with travel and just you either have to play more teams again and just, I don't know. Logistically, yeah. I just don't see a regular season continuing. But if they do, awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. We've mentioned this before, but it does seem more of a reality now that if they do play, there will not be any fans in the stands. And how stupid will that be, really, to try? I mean,
pumping crowd noise.
I mean, honestly, the whole thing just seems preposterous on the one hand, and then on the other hand, I'll go like, just so what? We're gonna have to try something new and radical. This one time, hopefully, one time in our history, let's just see what happens, and we'll all say we got to watch games with no fans, and boy, wasn't that weird. So, I'm all for getting hockey going again. It's just the whole thing is just so science fiction-y almost now that it's just really
seems hard to fathom. It really is dystopian.
Yes, good word, dystopian. It's dystopian, all right.
With the biggest issue I have with no fans is that, oh my god, the amount of advertising that's going to take up the boards on where the fans would have been, I feel like it will be ludicrous.
Well, for sure they'll do some like Cryon or whatever whatever the word is for the, you know, electronic ads that are going to be plastered all over the seats. Right, they'll have like a giant ad in the seats where the fans were supposed to be.
Yeah. Do World Cup of Hockey style.
It'd be Clorox chewables. That could be a good sponsor.
Clorox injectables, you mean?
We kid our president. Well, I think that, you know, the league definitely wants to play hockey. That's to me still like the good news. And, you know, it seems like forever, right? But it's still only been a month and a half, basically, of this shutdown.
Right.
Most of us, when this started, said, well, we're going to have to go 2 months, 3 months, maybe. They do still have the time. I mean, we still have all of May to come. God, doesn't that seem just, like, impossible to think about? Like, oh, my God, we might have another month of sitting inside after this. And then, you know, June is... You know, we were still going to be playing hockey in June with the playoffs. Now we're just starting a little later. No big deal. It's going to be a couple months. You get everything all over June, July. We're done. We got August off just like always. I feel like the league, you know, if they're heart of hearts, wishes they could get this going by June 1st rather than July 1st for sure.
Yeah, just because absolutely.
Just because of a lot of logistics of next season, and I have talked to some hockey people about this, like, nobody really wants to go into next year, like, starting in, you know, December or January for the new season. So if they could finish up by August 1st, let's say, or, you know, let's say, worst case scenario, August 15th, still gives the, that they can still go into next year and, like, take a month and a half off, but still realistically start a new season in, like, late October, and that'll be okay with everybody. So, yeah, I guess it's all going to be about the numbers, though, right, man? This is still a hugely serious thing that nobody can screw around with and just play loose and fat with the facts. It's going to have to be real flattening of the curve in places, and there's going to have to be some real doctors that come out and say, look, I think it's okay for them to play sports in an enclosed environment. And that's what it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to how we beat this thing, how well we can.
Yeah, and I'm not envious of Bettman or anyone else trying to figure this out, especially not with having to have the two-headed monster of getting doctors to say, yeah, you can do it, but you got to do A, B, and C, and then the NHLPA saying, we'll play, but what about next season? Does that shorten next season? It's just, I'm not jealous of whoever's trying to put this all together.
Me neither. Bettman and his staff are pretty sharp when it comes to this kind of stuff, I think. But, boy, it's going to be really, really difficult to figure out who... Just the logistics of, when you think about it, it's really going to be complicated. Like,
a
team is going to have to get on an airplane, and they're going to have to make sure that plane is scrubbed down and no germs on it. And then when they land, it's going to have to be the same thing. And they're going to have to have masks on, and wherever they stay at a hotel is going to have to be all scrubbed down, and all the employees there are going to have to test negative. All the food they eat is going to have to be, you know, on and on it goes. Like, if you really want to guarantee safety, you have to do all that stuff. If you want to go, hey, chances are, even if you get the virus, guys, you're going to be fine, just like the three Avalanche players that already had it, right, and supposedly doing fine, then, you know, you can have that attitude too. Like, hey, we all have some risk in life, guys, you know. But if you're going to be insistent on 100% safety, then you have to do this monotonous double, triple checking of everything.
Right.
That's where it gets.
And I feel bad for the minor leaguers. I mean, because I mean, I don't know if you AHL seasons and Eagles head coach basically went out and said it's done. We're canceled done. Basically. And it's just like, well, how do you manage call ups if a player gets injured?
I know.
It's just like the amount of logistical nightmares that will go into this is just. And then
what happens when two players suddenly test positive on a team? Does that just end the whole thing? Because everybody in that arena now is going to think they've got the virus. You know?
Yeah.
So that's going to be like a constant worry if you have this tournament. Everybody's going to be sweating out those tests every day. Because if it gets out that two players are test positive, everybody's going to be like, I'm not playing against that team. I'm not doing this. And then the whole thing just falls right apart. It's a fiasco.
The NHL's kind of how everyone else is in the rest of the world. It's like, to be 100% safe, you don't do anything. But at what point do you want to try to get back to normal and take a huge, huge risk in doing so? It's just, ugh.
Well, when you say huge risk, I do think we should put it in a little, perspective of the fact that the vast majority of statistics show that younger healthy people who get the virus, recover just fine.
Yeah,
it's not a death sentence for the vast majority of people who get it. That's where I wonder though if the league is gonna if sports are gonna have to say something like, look, we're gonna take a calculated risk here. You may get this. You're probably gonna be fine. But you know what? There is that 0.5% chance that you may die. It's a really awful, choice. Either way, it's a Hobbesian choice. I think the word is damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Damn, exactly. That's perfect.
So I don't know. That's again where that falls into. Who the hell knows?
And honestly, I don't think the NBA or the NHL wants to be that first league to say
we're returning.
Yeah,
they don't
want
to be that first league to fail and absolutely fall on their face and be the laugh, and then not only that, but get sued and get scorned from the world. And you game plan this out, though. Like, do you really think you're going to be able to say, let's say 1 year from today, April of 2021, you think coronavirus is going to be totally 100% eradicated from the United States of America?
No, not at all. It could easily be the next recurring virus.
It's something that could always recur. So
exactly.
It may fall into that category of, hey, just like don't go out in the sun in 100-degree, heat with. And lay in the sun for 12 hours with no sunscreen. Don't be foolish about this thing too. Take a little precaution. It may just be something we all have to have that little bit of risk in life to deal with. Thankfully, this is not like the flu of 1918 where people died within like 8 hours of getting it. Let's not get into that graphic, but it was not pretty. I've read a book about it actually, and that was not a good way to go at all.
H1N1, man. That's such a... Ugh.
Yep. All right. Well, Reagan, one thing I do know... I bet I know that... Now, you're of the drinking age, right? Yeah.
Yes, sir. The day the league got canceled.
That's right. The day the league got canceled. So I'm guessing that your beverage consumption, perhaps a tinge of alcohol in that has gone up since the coronavirus shut down?
Just a little bit.
Well, listen, man, if I got a deal for you, all right, listen carefully here.
I'm listening.
Total Beverage, two giant liquor stores in Thornton, Westminster, still got that great deal going right now where if you want to save $10 off any $25 or more order from Total Beverage, either online or going to the store, throw in the promo code AD10 and you're going to get that $10 off. Just throw the promo code in right there on their website. Free delivery to much of the Metro Denver area, 2 hours or less in most cases. Reagan, it's It's a hell of a deal. I know you live in Parker. You don't live in Thornton. But I know for a fact that one of these days you're going to get out to Thornton and check out Total Beverage, one of their two locations, Thornton or Westminster. And you're going to be blown away, man. It's like 18 football fields of beverages. Most of them alcoholic, but of course they've got soda. They've got every kind of water you want. Everything's there. They've got a great food selection, too. I didn't even know this. I was there checking it out the other day in Thornton. And lo and behold, they've got a huge, like, salami and cheese section. Really good-looking meats and cheeses and other snacks, like fancy olives in jars and, you know, that kind of stuff. And I'm like, damn, you don't know. I'm hungrier, too. Total Beverage is, my listeners already know this, the greatest beverage stores in all of Colorado. They are still doing gangbuster business throughout this shutdown, and why not? They're open daily. You can still walk in. They do practice social distancing in there, but you can still walk in and make your purchases, or you can do it all online in their really easy to use website, totalbev.com. This is where you can save that $10 more, a little easier, if you just throw in that promo code AD10. Any beverage order of $25 or more, throw in that code, it automatically drops $10 down. And you know, a lot also on your delivery, that's free in the Metro Denver area. No delivery fee on top of that. You know, like I said, free delivery. You just you pay a little bit of sales tax on the purchase, and that's it. The alcohol is going to be delivered right to your door in any Ziploc sealed bag that's very safe, brought by a well-scrubbed Total Beverage employee. You got nothing to worry about. If you don't want to go out of the house, you don't want to make that drive, you can have it delivered right to your door. So, Reagan, I know you got a phone that works. You know, it's a little bit of a far drive, but I'm sure Total Beverage will pull some strings for you to get that that delivery all the way out there in Parker. Either way, I know you'll love it, just like the rest of our readers do. So, Reagan, you got that to look forward to in your next little bit. Reagan, we got round two here of the podcast. I did I don't know, you know, it's tough coming up with content that you think people want to read during a shutdown. I don't want to be one of those guys that pumps everything, you know, pumps out a bunch of nonsense every single day just to say I'm doing stuff. So I've been sort of picking and choosing what I write about, but I did do something yesterday I wanted your opinion on. I did the list of five most obscure Avalanche players of all time. And I wanted to know if any of my guys that on my list would have been on your list. Maybe I shouldn't have assumed this. Have you read the article yet, young man?
I have, actually.
What are your thoughts?
the very first person, because I remember, because a lot of these players were before really me.
Yeah, you're a younger man, so I understand there's going to be some guys you never would have heard of either way. But
Jeremy Smith, don't even remember him, which is awful, because I watched that full season. I know.
Yeah. I know. That's why I put him on the list. I watched that season too, and I did have no memory of this guy.
But Marc-Andre Cleese, I do remember him. I was just like, huh, blast from the freaking past. And he played a solid amount of games.
He played an average of 75 games in his 2 years with the Avs.
Right.
I know. I think people might have been surprised I put Marc-Andre Cleese on that list, seeing he's played so much, but. Right, though? I'm right, though, aren't I? When you saw his name, you're like, I forgot, right? That was part of the point of why I did the list. I wanted to sort of that, you know, because you don't want to name just one guy who played one game. That's too easy. Even though I did have a guy who played three games on the list, Joel Perpik. Maybe we'll talk about him in a second. But, yeah, Marc-Andre Cleese, fourth-line center from a playoff team, and yet nobody can remember a damn thing he ever did for this team ever. He was known as a face-off guy. I remember when they got him, like, he's great on face-offs. I didn't go back and look at his numbers, but I don't think they were over 50% that year, either year. I could be wrong on that, but I don't think so. But hey, like I said, the guy played two full years for the Avs, and yet, one of the more, you know, unheralded let's say, players had ever played for the amount of playing that he did.
When you score 14 points in 150 games, it's kind of easy to put you in the back of the mind, I think.
Not a lot of offensive production, is it?
No. Yeah. But I don't know why. I remember Alan Roach always announcing him, and I no idea why, but
yep.
It sounds just like, oh, yeah. He played in all
seven playoff games, too, that year in that Wild Series. I think he had 0 points and a minus three. Might have had one assist. Marc-Andre Cliche was on the list. Joel Perpik, number 63, played for the 2001 Avs, the championship team. Three games. That was kind of the cheap and easy one that I used, you know, but he always sort of was a guy I remembered, at least, for being just truly how obscure he was. Just came out of nowhere, it seemed like, to be an Avalanche player for a brief time, and then when he was gone, you never heard from him again.
I feel like his height had to be pretty memorable, too.
He was. I do remember him being taller than me, which is, I'm 6'6", so he's 6'7". And I do remember looking up at him going, huh, I haven't seen that in a while, a hockey player. I just remember, I do remember, I think, talking to him. But it wasn't much, I don't think. Yeah. He played a little bit in the Boston organization the year before that. He played 14 games for the Boston Bruins the year before. And he played three games for the Avs. And he never played in the NHL again. He had like a 15-year career in like Europe and Croatia and all these weird places.
Spent a year in Japan.
That's right. Played some chat in the Japan League.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? The guy's had a pretty good life probably, right? He's been playing
That's
hockey.
That's pretty
played
cool.
Hockey for
hey.
Like 20 years somewhere.
If you're a hockey player and you're getting paid to play and you're
right?
being able to travel
you're
the world.
Japan?
And you like that form of thing, then, I'm sure this dude loved it.
I would have loved it. Can you imagine playing a year of hockey in Japan and getting paid? You know, probably had a pretty sweet apartment or something, probably paid for by the team. Probably had all the good, you know, good
now
sushi you could eat all day long. I mean, what's not to
now
like?
I gotta look up where Kokudo is.
Yeah.
Let's see.
You're the Japanese expert.
Yeah, right? Let's see. I have no idea where this would be.
Hmm. Yeah, I've never
it's probably
been to
on the mainland, but
I've never been to the Far East, so no idea myself.
If you ever get a chance, absolutely visit Japan. God, I miss it.
I mean, I would love to. God, I'm 55 years old and I've still never been to the Far East. Pretty sad. Pretty sad. All right, well, you're maybe still looking up Japan. So Perpik was another guy. Jordan, it's near Tokyo. Okay, well, that makes sense. Jordan Krestanovich was another player on my list. Who was Jordan Krestanovich, you ask? Well, he played for – he was a prospect the Avs drafted. I think it was the fifth round. He was considered to be a pretty good up-and-coming prospect, though, based on his play with the Hershey Bears for a couple of years. Like, hey, this kid's got potential. We can see him as a top six forward, maybe, you know. Never worked out. He played 22 games over two seasons, 01 and 04, in that frame. I think it was 01, 02, then the 03, 04 season. 14 games for that 03, 04 season, the one with Korea, Solani, et cetera, et cetera. Never scored a goal for the Avs. 2 points in 22 career games, over and out. That was the end of it. He played a while though after that in some kind of leagues, you know, so probably in Europe. But have you ever heard of Jordan Krestanovich at all? I assume you may have watched some of that 03-04 season. You weren't too young yet, were you?
I didn't watch hockey until at least 2013.
Okay, yeah, you are a young pup. You're a young
I'm a
pup.
Noob. I'm a newbie when it comes to the sport itself.
Yeah. Well, so you wouldn't have known him either, but
you hate to see him because like you just hate those types of stories though. Like, you know, I never saw the dude.
There's so
the
many
dude,
of them.
Just,
So many of them.
Yeah, it's so many. So good, and then just
I could have listed 50 guys like that. You know, it is sad, but it's the way it is.
That's hockey.
Yep, it's a tough sport. It's really tough to stay as a top six forward too, when you think about it. Like really, really tough. Jeremy Smith was another guy, the goalie from the 16-17 team. 1-6-1 with a 888 saves percentage, 3.54 goals against average. Other than that, his one NHL season was pretty good. That's been it for his career in the NHL. He did play in the KHL this season. So he's still out there, Jeremy.
Yeah. Looking at your thing in his stats right now.
Yeah. He's still getting paid somewhere, playing in Russia.
Hey, he's still playing. He's
living
still
the life.
Playing.
Living the life. KHL shut down too, right? So they finally are done. They're not playing hockey anymore. They were going to think about keep trying to play, weren't they, for a while? But now they're done. Right? KHL's done,
yes. Yeah. It's Russia. It's Russia.
Yeah, so, we have no idea what's going on in Russia. Who was the other? So my other guy was a guy named Yaroslav Halinka. He played on the 07-08 team. Played 63 games that year. But I don't remember a damn thing about him, really. Almost nothing. Maybe
weirdly,
that's just a function of me getting older, but I just don't remember him very well at all.
Weirdly enough, I think I do, only because I had a video game on the PlayStation 2. It was NHL, gotta be 2K8. And I don't know why. That name just sounds so familiar whenever I played against the Avs.
Yeah. No, he got him. They signed him as a free agent. One of those Euro signings that, you know, that, hey, we found this guy, like a Pavel Francouz type of thing. I remember the build-up on it was pretty good. Like, hey, we stole this guy. We got a, you know, top six winger here who's going to really help out. He had 28 points in 63 games.
Yeah.
I guess today that'll get you, what, a $4 million a year contract? But, I just don't remember anything that he ever did on that team. He had 8 goals, 20 assists, and I honestly can't remember a single play that he made. And I covered that team every day. So that's just one of those weird personal ones that I had in there. I'm sure the memory gets foggier. I can say that about a lot of guys, but for a guy who played 63 games, I didn't remember him. So that's my latest piece of content, Colorado Hockey Now. It's actually gotten a lot of reads, which I'm pleasantly surprised by. People do like that kind of stuff, I've found.
It's also a good way to test their own hockey knowledge, see if they remember these players.
Yeah. I've got some other top five lists that I'm gonna keep doing. I've done a couple others. What did I do before? Top five. I can't even remember what I wrote. Do you remember offhand what I wrote on my own site?
You did another story just a few days ago, did you not? Gary Bettman?
Yeah, no, I was talking about my top five lists. I'm going to look this up right now.
So
people are wondering what the hell I'm doing. But, yeah, we can review a couple of these. Colorado Hockey Now. It's the five most amazing examples of the Avalanche ex-player jinx. You remember that one. That's from 2 weeks ago. Some pretty amazing stuff in there, right?
Yeah.
Cody McLeod scoring in the first game against the Avs. I think that's still the most amazing one to me.
It was funny because I was thinking about that because, as you know, the Avalanche did their NHL video game simulation three nights ago. Freaking very first goal of the game came from Patrick Nemeth on Detroit. And I was just like, you got to be kidding me. Can't even escape it in the video game world.
Can't even escape it. I didn't know that. Oh, that's so true, though. I'm shocked that he didn't score against the Avs this year, actually. I had some good ones in there. That was a fun thing to research, actually. Cody McLeod scoring his first goal was a Nashville Predator. Big goal, too. Like, help him win the game. Dan Hynote. He played After he left the Avs, he scored 11 goals in three seasons, all with the Blues, and four of them came against the Avs, including one in the first game, of course. And he scored two goals in another game the next season. I don't think he ever scored two goals in a game with his career with the Avs or any place else, but he did against the Avs. Wojtek Bolski, that was another big one, 2010. 19 seconds to go in the game. He wins the game, breaks a 1-1 tie. First game against the Avs after being traded. First game for any team. Phoenix Coyotes, there when they were known as Phoenix. He scores to beat the Avs in a very big game, I remember, at the end of the season, too. That was a team that made the playoffs, that 2009-10 team. And Volsky scored. You're still a young pup. You don't remember some of those other ones. But I think even this past year we had a couple, right? I'm trying to think offhand, though.
Did Blake Como score for the Stars last year?
I don't think he scored. But I think he did some nice play. He may have scored at a preseason game that I'm thinking of. I don't know. I think you're onto something there, though. But, yeah, I think Blake Como did do something nice. You know, of course, Semyon Varlamov shut out the Avs his first game back against them.
You could build a team of ex-Avalanche players, and they'd probably take down the Avs in the best of seven. Oh, not because they're more skilled than the current Avs team, but just because it's the jinx. It's going to happen.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's a really weird one. It's crazy when you think about it. Like, when you go back and research some of the stuff, I'm sure I missed some others. It's nuts.
And it's always like it's seemingly in that first game back too. It's not like, oh, you've seen the team for a few times already and now they score. It's the first, second game back, and oh, look at that.
Have you thought about anything at all about the Avs as far as, you know, how sharp they're going to be, how rusty they're going to be, how much whether this thing's going to be good and bad for them if they do play?
Honestly, they were getting hot at such a good time again, and so that sucked. But I feel like it's something that until you see it, it's just like it's hard for me to worry about it because I feel like everyone else is in the same boat. And in the back of my mind, yeah, it worries me. But I feel like if we're all in the same boat, then hopefully other teams are going to play the same way. And it's going to be kind of like how we saw at the beginning of this season where the Avs just – I still didn't look as peak form, but because no one else was, as kind of steamrolling because the talent level was better.
And reality is, you know, I mean, the old Avs teams used to play well into June, so they got only July and August off before going back to training camp.
Right.
And, you know, we're coming up, we're inching closer to almost 2 months off. Since this thing, we're coming close to a full off season already from what these guys used to get anyway. So really, it is going to be like starting almost all over. Should they do this? And Bettman did say that he'd require a 3 week training camp. I was a little surprised
Dang.
By that. That's pretty long.
That's long.
That's
yeah.
much longer than the regular training camps.
Right.
I hope they consider trimming that down a little bit. Because that's a lot of sort of wasted time, in my opinion, if you're going to, you know, be okay to get out and be together as groups, you know. Do you really want to burn 3 full weeks of practice time, training camp? Shouldn't these guys need 2 at the most?
Yeah.
So, anyway, maybe he misspoke, but I
just don't see almost a full month dedicated to training camp when time's already so valuable.
No.
It just doesn't make sense. 2 weeks, I think, is...
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say 1 week. You know, one hard week of practice.
I was going to say I would pick 1 week, and I know players probably wouldn't be too happy about that, but, hey, it's better than no time.
Well, a lot of people have said, too, like, you know, oh, well... How unfair is it to ask the players to be away from the families for perhaps a month or something or more? Well,
Plus, yeah.
they're gonna care a lot more. I think their family members are gonna be okay with that, first of all, since they've been cooped up with this guy for 2 months as it is, shelter in place.
Right.
They're gonna want to see him go.
I had a meeting because I was doing a story on like technology usage, and I talked to a psychologist, and she's like, "It's gonna be really interesting to see the divorce rates coming out of this."
Yeah,
everyone's just cooped up, so yeah, I'm sure everyone's kind of ready to leave.
That's true, man. But the biggest reason why family members are gonna be okay with this, and vice versa, is, you know, the alternative is to have 25% of their paycheck deducted next year and lost escrow and or more escrow because of the lost revenue of no playoffs. So take your pick, family. Do you want to have your hubby around for a month, or do you want to have 25% more of a multi-million dollar income? You tell us. You got plenty of time in your future to be hanging out together still. So I don't really buy that whole thing, but I know that's going to be some sort of white knight virtue signaling media out there going to write a lot of that kind of stuff and what a hardship it is on the poor players and vice versa. And okay, that's fine. I mean, look, you know, that there is a reason why Zoom and things like that have gotten more popular. You can definitely hang out and see your kids and one wife on a nice video screen every night. That's pretty good too, right? Sure beats the old days when people went off to war and wrote letters home, wrote snail mail letters home that took 3 weeks to get home, and that's all you ever got to hear from the person. So let's look have a little perspective here, folks. Used to be a lot tougher in this country still.
You're being asked to stay at home and do nothing. So
yeah, you're asked to shelter in place in a really nice home and be able to see your husband every night on a crystal clear HD signal while sending lots and lots of money home. I think you'll be able to survive. All right. So there you go. That's my speech. Speaking of speeches, Reagan, every time I go into Bender's Bar and Grill, I just want to speechify to the world that this is the greatest hockey bar that I've ever been in my life. And God, do I miss it. If there's one place I miss more than anything in my life, Reagan Smith, it's Bender's Bar and Grill. Unfortunately, they are shut down right now. They're not doing takeout. They're not doing anything. They are sheltering in place until they get the full word to open back up from the governor. But rest assured, I've been in touch with the proprietor, Jim Armstrong, and they are ready to come back in full force. They've got the poutine ready to go the minute the governor lifts that shelter-in-place order for restaurants and bars. They are going to be back open with a vengeance, Jimmy Armstrong tells me. So all you people out there have been saving up your nickels, if you got any left, that is. Where you gotta go to eat, drink when this thing is lifted, I encourage you to go to Bender's Bar and Grill out at the Westminster Promenade, right next to the Westin Hotel in Westminster. It's the best hockey bar in all of Colorado. It's been that way for 10 years. It just won a Best of Westminster award as the best bar and grill in the city. It is full of, I believe, 200 beers, flavored beers on tap or available for purchase. Food that is phenomenal. The poutine is phenomenal. It's pizza, burgers, salads, so much good stuff on the menu. Then there's hockey outside the windows of the restaurant on their rinks that are built into the complex itself. You could watch sometimes NHL teams practicing there at those rinks. So whenever hockey's come back, you could still see teams practicing in that Westminster Ice Center connected to Bender. So, Reagan, I tell you what, I'm counting the minutes till Bender's reopens those doors so I can say again, I'm back in Nirvana. I'm back in hockey heaven. It's going to happen. Bender's Bar and Grill, one of the proud sponsors of this podcast. Reagan, I know you're going to be out there joining me. Let's make a date for some poutine, you and me, when this thing lifts. Deal?
Absolutely.
All right.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What beer goes well with poutine? That's the
what
question I got.
What beer doesn't
for you.
Go well with poutine? That's my Fair question enough. To you.
I haven't tried it yet.
It is heavy. It's cheese curds, fried cheese curds, smothered in gravy, basically.
Yeah.
So I would say a lighter beer would go well with that. Maybe a golden blonde pilsner. I don't drink a lot of beer so much anymore. Never really did. But I'm not the beer expert. I know that they've got every beer under the sun there, though.
I've been on a New England IPA kick. So.
Oh, there you go. All right. They've got all that Colorado craft beer, too. They've got their local beers in there, and it's just, man. The thing, too, they sell them. Every beer comes in a frosted mug, which makes it that much better.
Oh, love it.
No warm mugs in Bender's. So, yeah. Probably a lighter beer, though. I would, the poutine, though. I can't wait for you to try it. I'm going to get a picture of your face, first bite you take into those cheese curds, man, with the gravy.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, you might need a colon cleanse after that, but you're going to be fine. coming out of that segment, kid, what else is on your mind before we wrap up? We're not going to do a marathon podcast here, but we've covered the basics here. The NHL is still thinking about it. It's inching forward. It's hopeful. There's hope. Could all go away at any second, all that hope. We're a month and a half into this. We seem to know a little more about the potential for safety,
right.
If you do this right. Like, it really does make sense that you could do this theoretically pretty safely. Assuming...
Yes.
All the players, are shuttled back and forth in sort of a safe environment, and they stay in a hotel, and that kind of thing. And they wear masks. I'm sure they're going to have to wear masks just like the rest of us. I guess I'm coming out of this podcast with a little more hope than I would have, a couple weeks ago about things. I do wax and wane, though, every day. Like, every day I'll go... Oh, that's pretty hopeful. Yeah, I can see it. Hockey's going to be back by June 15th. And then I'll go, oh, my God. What did I just read out in New York? We're not going to – this is the last thing in anybody's mind. We can't have hockey right now. This is ridiculous. So I'm sure I'm not alone in thinking that.
No, it's one of those things. It's like as this gets further on and as – especially here in Colorado, as the curve is – starting to, I guess, plateau more so than anything else, but it's predictable in cases. It's like, well, we're starting to see this improvement, or leagues talking about returning. It's light at the end of the tunnel. Stay at home goes on Monday. It's like, yeah, it feels good, but it's just like you also see the logistical challenge of it. And so it's just like, but there's light. And I think, yeah, as you say that a month ago, and that wasn't really there. So. Steps in the positive direction.
I think what else, something that helped a little bit, what happened last night was just the NFL draft happening. And
nice.
Just something happening.
So nice.
And something, sports event happened, right? It doesn't matter what it was in a mouth. It happened. They folded off. It feels like that was something to, get your hopes up for about everything. Like,
yes.
Once one league does something... and the next league's going to do something. For sure we're going to be able to have an NHL draft in June, no matter what. And they may do that before the playoffs, which is a whole another ball game, which I don't know. That's going to be weird in itself. But, reality is the draft isn't that big a deal. It's picking, 200 names out of a hat, and it only takes, you could do that in one day for sure if you had to. They split it up over 2 days. But, yeah, it's not that big a deal. So we're gonna have that. We're gonna have free agency. We'll still have that.
Yeah.
I think, unless right.
Right.
We're not gonna be able to have free agency if the playoffs are still going on. Obviously, they'll have to have a September 1st free agency or something. But we're still gonna get that.
But the frenzy will still be there.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I hope it's. I guess I feel better about things in a sense, and yet, again, we're sort of sheltering in place and not knowing what the hell really is going to happen. Just have to do our best. I don't know. I go to a store most every day with my mask on. I don't know. I never feel really unsafe, but yet you do wonder, like, could this, you know, am I next? You know, you do have that in your head.
Yeah.
Do you know anybody who's got the virus?
I have a friend whose father has had the virus.
Oh, but, really?
No one directly that I know, I guess, to say, but.
Yeah, I don't know a single person yet either.
Thank God, though. That's one of the things I'm thankful for.
Yeah.
So it's like, well,
yeah, for sure.
But.
For sure. I hope everybody else is out there safe. Let's throw a couple shout-outs. I want to thank Ethan Carter for a tip jar donation recently. Thank you, Ethan, for that. Queen Nikki Field, want to thank, always give a shout-out to Queen Nikki. She's a great-ass fan and great supporter of the website and the podcast. Thank you to my mother for making a tip jar donation recently. Thank you, Mom. And there's a long, long list of people I could go on and on here, but you know who you are. Some great readers and listeners out there. Thanks for sticking with the website through all this. I know that you know, there's going to be some hardships for a lot of people, and you know, myself included. You know, we're all going to have to make do a little bit less probably, but definitely want to thank all my readers and listeners for staying loyal to this, and you know, I try not to charge too much money as it is, so no matter what, it's never going to be a burden. So thanks again for everybody. Reagan, you got any shout outs you want to make here?
I guess I'm gonna not they
don't have
they
any
listen
friends,
to the podcast every now and then, but I gotta give a shout out to my parents. They're
there you go.
Keeping me all fed and safe without having a car, so appreciate that. They haven't kicked me out of the house just yet. So thankful for that, and they're gonna be coming back with me to Phoenix to get my car and all that.
Yeah.
Driving right. Back, so
I've been
taking
in that
the
car.
Risk with me.
I've been in that car.
Yeah.
Our faithful drive to Glendale from the airport that night. It was fun.
Missed the one exit, thinking that I'll just drive through. Didn't realize the whole highway was shut down.
Yeah, Reagan tries to do a shortcut, and then gets us more tangled up. Almost missed the start of the game, but oh well, that's still.
They wouldn't let us park in the standard parking lot. They made us park in the media lot.
That's right. Oh, God. You almost saw the Dater temper there. Yep, I remember that. A lot of parking lot escapades I've had over the years.
Made it right before warm-ups.
Right before.
Yeah.
What a weird night that was. Remember you drove me back and I took a red eye to Dallas?
Yeah, I remember.
Oh,
you were like,
God.
Never again, never again.
Never
and
again.
I hear stories every other week about you doing it.
And every
I
other
did.
Week I'd buy one because it's like, all right, I'm going to pay only $63 here for this flight. I'm going to have to do it. Yeah, that was one of the weirder nights I've ever had. Like, I stayed up all night. I remember having breakfast at a Dallas hotel and just trying to kill time to like check into my Airbnb. It turned out I had to kill like 6 hours in downtown Dallas after not sleeping all night after covering that game with you. It all worked out. That's why we get the big bucks, folks. So, all right. Well, good podcast. We did what we could here. We're going to have hopefully some real talkie to talk about at some point, folks. But keep your hopes alive. Keep your hopes up. It's going to happen again at some point. We're all going to get through this, and we're going to be talking Avalanche hockey again. Right, Reagan?
Absolutely.
All right. Let's sign off here. Thanks for listening, folks. You can check out our work at ColoradoHockeyNow.com. I want to thank my usual sponsors, Total Beverage and Bender's Bar and Grill, for their outstanding support. And Reagan, you take care. We'll talk to you next week, I'm sure.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's sign off.